Hello everyone, Eldon Christensen here, and in this video I'm going to be talking about some design considerations for deploying Storage Spaces Direct. So first off, let's talk about what sort of drives should I be picking for my S2D solution. Throughout this video, you're going to hear me kind of referencing the three different types of drives. I'm going to be talking about NVMe, SSD, and spinning Rust, traditionally kind of lovingly talking about our traditional hard drives, HDDs. When making one thing I want to point out here is that when making choices for design considerations between on an all-flash system between NVMe and SSD, NVMe devices are going to deliver about three times the performance, and they're going to achieve that at about half the CPU cycles to achieve it. So when looking at a high-performance system, definitely be looking at NVMe first, and that's kind of this something you should be looking at first. So let's talk about building a performance optimized solution. So this is kind of what I've coined. If you're thinking about, you want to achieve the ultimate in performance, you want to build a rocket ship that's going to get incredible IOPS and throughput, and you want to build it as screaming fast as you can go, these are the considerations. So it's pretty straightforward. You're going to build an all flash solution, and you're going to use either all NVMe, you're going to use all SSD, and you can go with a flat design. So you're just going to have NVMe devices, and they'll all be of the same performance characteristics, and you'll go with an all-flash design. And that's going to achieve the best IOPS and throughput. So that's the best way to achieve performance. So let's talk about building a capacity-optimized solution. And so what I mean by a capacity-optimized solution is maybe the kind of questions you might be asking yourself is saying, hey, I need a lot of storage capacity to store information. I'm going to be storing large number of VHDs, large numbers of files, and I need that storage capacity, large capacity to store things. Another attribute of this is that if you want to have a cost-effective solution, so if you want to reduce costs, there's some techniques we're going to talk about here about how you can kind of mix lower-cost drives with more expensive drives. So if you want to build a capacity-optimized solution, what you're going to do is you're actually building a hybrid solution. So you will have NVMe devices, which will then, and you'll have a set of HDD devices, and this is a hybrid. And so basically what you have is that the low-cost HDD devices deliver that low-cost capacity, which are going to give you that large capacity, those large volumes to store your data. And then what you're using is using a small amount of flash to accelerate the performance of that HDD. That small amount of flash is one layer, which will give you that high performance, and then you have the capacity devices to store all that data. So that's what we coined a capacity-optimized solution, flash in front, HDD on the back. So I'm talking about these caching devices. So let's talk a little bit about what are they, what value do they deliver, why do I need them, when do I need them, what should I be thinking about? So let's talk about them from a design perspective. So if we look at a traditional hard drive, right, we've got these physical attributes. We've got these arms, and it's got to move across this platter. And for decades now, we've been trying to figure out how to defy the laws of physics and how we can make these hard drives go faster. And, you know, a hard drive can only kind of deliver a very low amount of, you know, here we got 75 random IOPS per second on a 7200 RPM drive. Really can't deliver that great of performance. And that's and fundamentally, Storage Spaces Direct will actually technically work with HDD. So if you're just looking to do a test configuration, try it out in your lab, you can definitely do that. But if you're going to be doing a production deployment, just a pure HDD solution is actually something we don't support, don't recommend, and we really want to have a hybrid solution for HDDs with some flash with it. And why do we want that? So here's what the having a small amount of cache can do. So A, when an app goes to perform an I/O, it will hit the flash device, and the flash device will very quickly satisfy that to either read or write, and then in this case a write, and then return back to the app, and the app can move forward. So this allows very fast performance in IOPS from an application perspective. What these caching devices are actually doing under the covers is that then they take this I/O, this data which is written down to the flash devices, and will later destage it down to the HDDs. And they will actually do that in an optimal way so that they can optimize the placement and the movement to the platter so that they can write that I/O in a very efficient way. And so by doing that, we can really bump up the performance that those HDDs can achieve, right? And that's really just because that cache is optimizing the I/O to accelerate those HDDs and really make them shine to the best of their capabilities in opposed to having a bunch of random I/O coming down to them. So if I just kind of bring this back up and we look at capacity optimized solutions. You've got your caching devices up on top. Those are your flash devices. You get a small number of them, and then your capacity devices, and you're going to have a larger number of them. So those flashing devices are really radically improving the performance of the HDD. So you've got a large number of slow drives, and you've got a small number of fast drives, and those small number of fast drives are acting as accelerators for the slow drives. So I've been talking about flash, you know, in front of HDDs, but you could also do it in an all-flash world. So you could use, you know, caching devices are a mechanism to use some faster drives to speed up some slower drives. You could also do that with flash. So in this, I kind of have a depiction here of you could use a couple NVMe devices to actually accelerate the performance of SSDs. So this is an all-flash configuration, which is incredibly performant. But what you're doing is you're using a small number of these more expensive, really fast NVMe devices to accelerate the performance of your actually pretty darn fast SSD flash devices. So an all-flash configuration can also use caching devices. So up to this point, we've been talking about using caching devices as a mechanism to accelerate performance. You can also use caching devices as a mechanism to reduce costs as far as endurance of drives. So when you think about you have this I/O which is coming down and it's hitting the drives, what you can do is you can buy a smaller number of more expensive high endurance flash devices and use those as caching devices, and then that frees you up to buy larger numbers of lower cost flash devices in an all-flash configuration. So here I've got these high endurance drives, and those are taking the I/O beating. They are then optimizing the I/O and then later destaging it down to the SSD devices. And it's really taking that beating and really taking that wear so that, and that's a cost savings mechanism here where you have low cost, large number of drives with a few higher cost, high endurance drives. So let's talk about the capacity used for these caching devices. So if you look at this depiction here, I've got two SSD devices, and the reason we always want two or more caching devices is just for resiliency, so that if one drive were to fail, you have another one, which will then dynamically kick in and start acting as a caching device for all the other drives. And so what you see here is I've got two SSD devices, and they're a terabyte each, and then I've got four HDDs that are 4 terabytes each. Now, the important thing I want to point out here is that the devices which are used for the cache are completely consumed by cluster shared volumes. So cluster shared volumes will completely consume the capacity of those cache devices. They will not be free to the system. They will not be free for you to go and store data on them. So when you go and create your pool, what you're going to see is you're only going to see the devices which are your capacity devices. So if I have 4 4-terabyte drives, I have 16 terabytes of usable capacity for storing data. Again, those 2 terabytes are not going to show up. Those 2 terabytes for those caching devices are consumed by SSD in the system, and they will not even be presented or available. So when thinking about that, what are some scenarios where maybe you won't want to use caching devices? So one scenario might be maybe you're deploying some very small servers with a small number of drive bays to a remote office or a branch office. So you might be buying some inexpensive servers. You want to limit the number of physical drives that you ship in those servers just to reduce costs. Maybe you don't have that great of performance requirements for something going out in the field at this branch office. Maybe it just physically doesn't have the slots for it. So in that case, you may not want to lose the capacity associated with the caching devices just for the cache. You may say, opposed to deploying 6 drives, which would be 2 flash devices and 4 HDDs, to my remote branch office, I'm going to say, heck with that. I don't want to have to deploy 6 drives. Let's just do 4 drives, and I'm going to do all flash. So instead of doing 2 flash and 4 HDDs, I'm just going to go with 4 flash. I'm going to go with a flat design. And even though I kind of characterize that as a performance configuration in the beginning, and that's actually going to get incredible performance out of this solution, you may choose not to use caching devices in an effort to save devices and save available slots in the servers and the enclosures. Another scenario where you may not use a caching device is when you're deploying Storage Spaces Direct inside of a VM. So one of the powerful things about Storage Spaces Direct is that you can deploy it on bare physical metal. You can also deploy it inside of a virtual machine. And this can be powerful. Let's say you want to increase the SLAs. And this could be inside of a virtual machine on top of any cloud. So this can be on top of Hyper-V. This can be on top of Azure. It can be on top of VMware. It can be on top of AWS. It can be on top of anything. Now, when you're deploying inside of a virtual machine in a virtualized environment, and you have a VHDX, which is being presented up, these are normally all going to be of the same performance characteristics. So in this scenario, it kind of doesn't make sense to go and configure caching devices. So if you're deploying a guest cluster inside of a VM, and the performance characteristics of all those VHDs backing that VM are all the same, don't bother with caching devices. Just go, you know what, I'm going with a flat design. I'm going to do four VHDs presented up into the VMs, and that's all I'm going with. So it's just a simplification. So let's just kind of recap the scenarios here that we're talking about caching devices. So first and foremost, using a small number of fast drives can greatly accelerate the performance of a larger number of slow capacity devices. So the first and main reason you're ever going to use caching devices is to accelerate performance. The second reason you may use caching devices is to reduce costs around using high endurance drives to take that beating for some low endurance drives. And so both of these are really cost-saving measures. This allows you to take some slow, low-cost drives and really speed them up with just a few small fast drives. And same thing on endurance. Allows you to take some lower-cost flash devices, low-endurance drives, and then put just a couple more expensive ones. So both of these are cost-saving measures. So now let's talk about scenarios where maybe you don't want to use caching devices. And what are the pros and cons of those? So the one is we talked about performance optimized. Having a few fast drives in front of a bunch of slow drives will never be as fast as having all fast drives. So if you want the ultimate performance solution, just buy all fast drives. And you're going to have a flat design, no caching devices. You're going to achieve the best IOPS and throughput. The other scenarios we talked about were a guest cluster. We're in a VM. You get these VHDs. And they're all effectively equal from a performance perspective. Then just go ahead and create a flat design. There's no need for caching devices. And then we talked about kind of these remote office, branch office, where you're doing these small scale deployments where maybe you have limited numbers of drives, you have limited numbers of capacity, you have limited numbers of bays in the servers. Maybe you just don't want to do caching devices then. And then maybe you go with an all flash design, you go with all SSDs, and you can achieve a nice, highly performant solution at a low cost. All right, so let's talk about, now that we've talked about kind of what's the right designs around what sort of device options are there, the configuration of those devices, let's talk about what we should do for around file system and resiliency types. So with SourceBases Direct, we support several different resiliency types. So things we support a two-way mirror, and you'll use a two-way mirror if you're doing a two-node S2D deployment. That's really the only scenario where you'll do a two-way mirror is with a two-node deployment. As you get to three or more servers, then you can do a three-way mirror. Now, Spaces also supports single parity. Now, it's something we don't recommend, and actually by default, if you go and enable and create volumes, it actually won't even create a single parity volume. What we really want to see you do is to have greater resiliency. Everything defaults to a dual parity. So once you get to four servers, you can create dual parity volumes to achieve that greater storage efficiency. Now, there's one more that's kind of a hybrid of those two. So we talked about a two-way mirror, we talked about a three-way mirror, we talked about parity when you get to four nodes. We have another option, which we call mirror accelerated parity. So there's kind of two things which are happening at the file system and at the device layer I just want to talk about and how I/O is landing on StorageSpaces Direct. So what a mirror accelerated parity volume does is that when a write comes down to it basically, if you look at the top box, it has a small section of the volume, which is a mirror, and then a larger part of the volume, which is a parity. And the way this works is that when all writes come down, they will always land on the mirror partition. And then what happens is that at a later point in time, data is then later destaged from mirror to parity. What that does is that removes the cost of calculating parity at write time. And so what that allows you to do is that an app can do a write and lands on the mirror. We don't have to calculate parity. We very quickly respond back to that application. The application can move forward and it gives it that real fast performance. Then later on, as the mirror partition, we will then rotate data out of the mirror partition down to the parity partition at a later point in time and calculate parity. And we can, and that really helps accelerate the volume when using parity by having that this mirror accelerated parity. Now, once data has been landed on the volume, all writes happen to the mirror, and a read can happen from either the mirror or the parity. Reads, there's no cost, so a read will stay on parity if it's on parity and the data is not modified. That data will stay on the parity partition, and so reads can happen equally from the other side. Now, at a lower layer down the stack, let me talk about caching devices. We talked about those in the first half of our conversation here. With caching devices, they are a true real-time cache. They are actually, when data is written, it will come in and it will land on the mirror of the volume. Then that block will in turn go and land, because it's a write, on the caching device. The caching device then will destage at a later point in time from the caching devices down to the capacity devices. It also will rotate data up. So if data is read, a read from the HDDs will also land on the caching devices. So I just want to articulate there's two very different layers that are working independently to really accelerate I/O performance. With mirror accelerated parity, you've got those writes coming in and landing on mirror, which are then being later destaged down to parity. At the device layer, that you've got reads and writes when you're using caching devices. And that doesn't matter whether you're doing mirror accelerated parity or if you're doing pure mirror. Any I/O coming down into those caching devices is going to land on those flash devices, and then will later destage down to capacity. And even as data is read off of those slower HDD devices, they will be cached up in the NVMe devices to accelerate performance. You can do a three media type deployment. So what's different here is you'll see that there are NVMe caching devices. I can have some SSD devices, which represent the mirror partition of a mirror accelerated parity. And then I can have HDDs, which represent the parity partition of a mirror accelerated parity. So if doing mirror accelerated parity, another option is you can have these three media types. And again, at the file system layer, it's really about having that mirror and parity, the mirror partition in front of parity, to optimizing parity calculation on writes. At the device layer, we're doing that real-time caching, right? So as blocks are read and write, we're putting them in NVMe device. This isn't tiering per se, because we're not doing any like heat map tracking and then moving back and forth like, you know, every couple hours or something like that. This is a true real-time hot cache for reads and for writes. All right, so let's talk about which one to pick when. So we talked about a bunch of different characteristics of these different resiliency types you can pick at the file system layer. Let's kind of break them down. So first thing, let's talk about dual parity. Dual parity is going to deliver great storage efficiency. So if you're going to go build a solution which is going to be archival, it's going to be doing maybe write once, heavy read. It's a backup server. It's just some archival where you're just going to put this large amount of data and you're going to read it maybe, but you're not going to be doing a lot of writing. Dual parity is a great option. You're going to get incredible storage efficiency, but it's not going to deliver the highest in performance. Now let's talk about mirror accelerated parity. With mirror accelerated parity is a balance. I'm going to get some pretty darn good storage efficiency. So you can see that storage efficiency line is lower, but it's still pretty good. But if you look at the performance, a mirror accelerated parity is going to deliver twice the performance of parity. That's a nice balanced configuration. So if you're saying to yourself, you know what, I need good performance and I also need efficiency, this is a nice balance of the two. But if you're trying to build that performance optimized solution, a mirror partition is the undisputed performance champion. So it's going to deliver the greatest performance. Now, the trade-off of that is that it's also going to deliver the lowest storage efficiency. So again, three-way mirror, incredible performance, lowest storage efficiency, mirror accelerated parity, a good performance and a balance with good efficiency. And then dual parity is going to deliver lower performance, but it's going to deliver incredible storage efficiency for those archival scenarios. So let's just recap everything here. So performance optimized. You want to build a rocket ship. You want to go fast. You want to go and build a flat design with all flash, and you're going to want to do a mirror. That's your design point. You want to build capacity optimized. You're going to want to go with a hybrid where you're going to have caching devices and capacity devices. And you're probably going to want to go with a balance of efficiency. So you're probably going to want to go with mirror accelerated parity is the way I recommend people are generally want to go. Unless you want to build a archival solution, a backup server, something to that effect, then you probably want to go with parity. All right, so if you want to learn more, you can just go to akams/s2d. We have many documents which will go into great depth on everything I discussed here. And I hope you enjoyed this video. Thank you very much.